The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
You're listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K284AL, Haleiwa, and welcome to
In the Garden on the Farm, your weekly radio program that cultivates the passion and knowledge to grow well with plants and animals. We're your hosts, Robin and Shaka, and on today's show, we will expand our culinary horizons with purely local cuisine, learn about an important educational opportunity, and learn a secret to maximize and optimize nutrition and growth. But first, we'd like to let you know that this KKCR program is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with our fine sponsors.
Like Harvest Market.
Harvest Market Natural Foods and Cafe in Hanalei is proud to support KKCR and its Ohana, offering organic groceries and produce, a cafe featuring fresh salad bar, hot meals and soups, fresh-made smoothies, and baked goods. Located in the heart of Hanalei, Harvest Market Natural Foods and Cafe, 826-0089.
Indeed, mahalo to Harvest Market for supporting sustainability. And we'd also like to thank Kauai Marine and Mower.
Kauai Marine and Mower, located in Old Kapa'a Town, is proud to underwrite this KKCR program. Kauai Marine and Mower features Honda garden and lawn equipment and also Echo power equipment. 823-0556.
Indeed. Kauai Marine and Mower, helping us stay in tune and you guys prune. And mahalo to Anahola Stringed Instruments.
Anahola Stringed Instruments is proud to support KKCR. Mickey Sussman has been building island koa guitars, ukulele, and violins on Kauai since 1972. Time-honored designs and special orders. Prompt and complete restoration, repair, and reforestation. AnaholaStringedInstruments.com or 822-1645.
And mahalo Anahola Stringed Instruments. It always starts with the tree. And lastly, we'd like to thank you, the listeners of In the Garden on the Farm and Aya's Garden Supply.
Aya's Garden, all-natural garden and greenhouse supply. In Kapa'a, down Kukui Street from the Dragon Building. Fertilizers, amendments, soil, seeds, garden and farm organic growing supplies. Open Monday through Saturday. More information at 822-7333 or visit Aya's Garden on Facebook.
Inti mahalo to Aya's Garden for supporting community radio. Aloha, everyone, and welcome to this fundraising edition of In the Garden on the Farm. Aloha, Robin.
Aloha, Shaka.
It's such a great pleasure to be here. Paul, if you're listening, get well, buddy. Thanks for letting me sit in for you.
Yeah, much appreciation to you, brother. We are going to jump right into our show. We've got so much to talk about today, and we'll start with our celestial session, as
Can
we
I
always do.
Interrupt for just one moment?
Please.
Because this is just such a wonderful show, and I know that it's one of those shows that makes a difference, and is one of the reasons why, twice a year, you get the opportunity to support it. And Kauai Community Radio and The Garden Show is a beautiful thing. And Komoa Ukulele has generously donated a beautiful ukulele to every angel level from now throughout the end of our membership drive. And that's a pledge of $365, just a dollar a day. And so if you're so inclined, or you found that this show has particularly enriched your life or helped your farm or garden, this is a wonderful way to allow us to continue to do that. That's it. I want to hear my celestial thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And we will remind you about calling in to pledge your support as the show goes on. Well, the Hawaiian moon phase is brought to you by the 2014 Hanalei Moon and Tide Calendar, a Hanalei Watershed Hui publication. We thank them so much for sharing their mana'o. Today's Hawaiian moon is Kulu. Kulu is in Poe Poe, the second Anahulu or Hawaiian moon week. Poe Poe means full, rounding, describing the moon's appearance at this time. Full moon was this morning at 9:16 a.m. And Kulu will rise on Kauai at 7:30 p.m. this evening, reach its transit or highest point in the sky at 1:13 a.m., and will set tomorrow morning at 6:54 a.m. 98% of the moon's beautiful face will be illuminated tonight. And the mana'o for today's moon, Kulu, Kulu means to drop. The banana sheath falls off this day, exposing a new bunch. This was the time for offering first fruits to the gods. This from Native Planters in Old Hawaii by Handy Handy and Pukui, a wonderful book. And the planting recommendations for today are that it's good for planting potatoes and melons. Jumping into a different moon, look at the moon in the biodynamic look at things. Today, the moon is in Libra, an air sign, making it a good time to work with our flowering plants. We are right at the end of the descending moon here, so you still have some time to do some planting. Good time to get our beautiful flowers in for our summer garden. Thursday and Friday, the moon will be in Scorpio, a water sign, making it a good time to plant and work with our leafy plants. Saturday, the moon will move into Sagittarius, a fire sign, making it a good time to work with our fruiting plants. It is right around there that the moon will enter its ascending phase. And on Sunday is actually an unproductive day. This is when the moon will be taking its turn and the sap of the plants will start to rise up into the upper parts of the plant, making it not such a great time for planting, but other things in the garden. And Monday and Tuesday next, the moon moves into Capricorn, an earth sign, making it a good time to work with any of our root-producing plants. Maybe a good time to hill up sweet potatoes, things like that.
Wonderful.
And there you have it.
Yeah. Well, any flowering plants you going to be working with?
Yeah, my favorite summertime flowers are marigolds. I do kind of a whole collection of them. So there's so many beautiful different kinds, and they just grow so well in the summer months. I miss them actually throughout the winter time when they're not.
I'm sweet on sweet peas. I love them. They're a lovely cut flower, and then you turn them under, and it just really helps the soil.
It's true. It's true. Huh. I'm going to have to give those a try this summer. They have such a nice fragrance.
Yes.
Well, we're going to move right along, and once in a while, we give you an opportunity to be the change. And I will recommend that maybe you give us a call here at the radio station, 826-7774 or 826-7771. Pledge your support, become a member of KKCR, show the garden show that you like what we're doing.
Yeah, and this show continues to improve. I'm so impressed with Paul and Robin's quality of their shows they've given us over the last 6 months. And the shows are archived on our website at kkcr.org. We've had some wonderful guests, as we are today. We're going to have Lisa Fuller from One Song Farm and Janice Myers from Farm Cook Kauai. But all our shows have been archived here, including the wonderful show on soil remediation. And it's just been a good 6 months. So support us. Give us a call, 826-7771. Or if you're listening on Oahu or off-island, it's 866-275-1112. And you can speak with the inimitable host of Dan on the I-10. Hey, Dan, how are you today?
All right,
buddy. Thanks for coming in and volunteering your time. Robin, shall we?
Absolutely. I also want to let people know that there is an opportunity to donate online at kkcr.org. If you check out the website, you'll see the donate button. It's a really easy way to help support the station. And without further ado, we will get talking with our guests. I first want to introduce just briefly Lisa Fuller. We've had you with us before. Such a pleasure. And we're so happy you're here today. So welcome for joining. Thank you for joining.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. You want to tell everyone a little bit about yourself in case they haven't heard you before?
Oh, my. Let's see. So I've been
farming on the island since 2008. I'm the apprentice of Sun, who happens to be my husband, which try that sometime, apprenticing with your husband. Challenging, but very worth it. He's so knowledgeable, and he's been farming on the islands over 25 years. And so we are working together with a new space up in Kilauea. Beautiful, beautiful farm, farming in paradise, truly, up in that space. Excellent neighbors and just a good environment for creating fabulous, fabulous food. Committed to sustainability, committed to low tech, and making it really easy so that we can share this information as well, how to do it.
Yeah, and we're going to get to more about how you can learn from Lisa and Sun at One Song in a little bit, but I will take the opportunity to introduce Janice Myers of Farm Cook Kauai. We're so grateful to have you here on the show today. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks also, Robin, for inviting me. It's an honor to be here, and I've known you for a little while, buying your starts at the farmer's market, and I've been on Kauai for about 7 years and started my farming adventure working for the Kanana Goat Dairy. I worked for them for 3 years, milking the goats and making cheese and maintaining their vegetable gardens, and I also did an internship with Kauai Farm Connection with Jillian and Gary. I did that for a few months, which was a really wonderful learning experience. And I've taken some classes at the community college around sustainability and agriculture and farming on the island. And I've had my garden plot up at the Malama Kauai Community Garden. This plot I've had for a year and a half, and previously had a plot for a year. So I've been at it and learning along the way. And I've worked for Common Ground as a cook, and I currently work at the Healthy Hut as a cook, and also have my website that I display my recipes and gardening instruction, which is farmcookkauai.com, and have some links up there as to other things that I do. So,
yeah, one only needs to take one peek at farmcookkauai.com to see such beautiful pictures of the food you've been creating, and to know, based on what you're writing and what I can see with my eyes, that you've really made the most out of a 20 by 20 foot garden patch, really. I mean, more than most people, I think, could do.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can do with the small space. You could easily feed a family of four, and we usually have more food than we need. And I probably only spend 2 to 4 hours. It's about 10 hours a month. I was trying to calculate how much time I spend in there, which I don't think is very much at all. And I usually want to spend more, but in order, you know, to keep it in production and keep a good rotation of different things going, it's usually 2 hours a week, and then on a heavier week, 4 hours a week. And yeah, again, I don't think that for as much food as I get, it's not very much time. So
20 by 20, I have a couple quick questions.
Mm-hmm.
Is it raised bed, and do you have automatic watering?
Yeah, water's provided. Each of the plots, there's 42 plots. And
no, but is it an automated system, so you don't have to bother with the watering?
No, but I go up there every day and water if I need to. It's been so rainy that I really haven't had to water very much at all this spring and winter. So that's even made it more low tech and low maintenance. And then I make my own raised beds in a sense. I don't have wood per se, but the rows are all raised just because that's how I've learned that works best for me for drainage. And so, yeah.
Well, on the note of growing a lot in a small space, maybe, Lisa, you could talk a little bit about your biointensive method that you guys employ at One Song.
Well, that could be a whole show, actually.
Well, maybe you just want to, you'd like to start by letting us know about your upcoming workshop.
Sure. That'd probably be the easiest. To come see us and see what we do is probably the best way to do it, because then you can actually visualize what Janice is talking about, raised beds without wood. Sometimes people don't know what that means, and we definitely utilize that as well. And we'll be having a sharing in a couple of Sundays, May 25th, and it's 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the farm in Kilauea. And you're welcome to give us a phone call to get more information and also to get directions to this particular event. And our phone number is 635-3020. That's 635-3020. If you forget, we are going to the Namahana Market on Saturdays from 9 to noon. And you can, that's in Kilauea by the mini golf. And we'll have flyers up and information at that event as well. We're going to have two classes during that time. Sun's going to be taking the more advanced students and going into more of the advanced issues of farming on the island. Things are very different here from the mainland, and that's one thing we just want to make really clear to people. There's a lot of information out there that isn't usable for farming on this island. There are things we have to do very differently, and Sun can give a lot of information and quell the questions of how do I make this work, how do I do that, and also just bring up information that people may not know about, challenge, you know, why things haven't been working and how to fix that and how to get beyond that. And then I'm going to be working with the biointensive basics, and so anyone who's new to that methodology and also new to gardening or farming or getting ready to start a new space, I might recommend they come with me, because I'll be going over the basics of how we do things at One Song Farm and things that I've learned over the last 9 years working with Sun, and how to just keep things organized and flowing in a flow and utilizing those spaces most effectively, because, yes, you can grow a huge amount of food in a small space, and there are ways to do it to make it really beneficial for the plants that you're growing, and understanding their growth pattern and how to space them and who to put them with and those kinds of things. And we're at spring right now. If you have your gardens, you know things are just booming right now. We definitely have seasons here. Don't be fooled by this beautiful island and this weather. We do have seasons, and there are things that are just going off right now. And come summertime, we're going to head into more challenges. And we can also be giving you some heads up on those challenges and how to prepare for those challenges to protect those plants that you want. How do I get a sweet lettuce in the middle of summer? I can tell you. So that, again, that's going to be happening on May 25th on a Sunday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And I do recommend that you call us ahead of time so I can tell you how to prepare for the day. The last hour of the sharing, we're going to do an introduction to lactic fermentation, which is pickling, fermented vegetables, cultured vegetables. There are many ways to say it. But we're big time veggie fermenters in my house. It's like we have a chemistry department in our little kitchen. Something's being brewed all the time, and we're going to introduce you to that. So we'll have samples and information, kimchi, sauerkraut, mixed veggie pickles, all sorts of things that we'll be sharing with you, and then also some recipes and how to do it.
We're speaking with Lisa Fuller of One Song Farm and this wonderful stuff she's sharing with us. And we'd like to encourage you all, even though you're enjoying the show, to give us some support and call us at 826-7771. Whatever you can afford to donate is very much appreciative, and we'll make the best of it. I had one quick question. Do you use Hawaiian sea salt when you do your pickling, or do you have some?
Absolutely.
I knew you were going to say that. I didn't know, but I knew.
Absolutely. I love that beautiful white, just pure salt. I don't use the orange salt.
Okay.
Because I'm not sure all that's in there, and I'm not sure how it would affect the fermentation, but the really crystal white, I do use that.
What do you pickle that people wouldn't normally think of as being pickled?
Chayote.
Oh. Mm.
Yeah, yum. Yum. Oh, and nasturtium seeds. Oh.
Ooh.
When you pickle them, they are like capers. Incredible. But better.
Lovely.
Just a burst of flavor.
How
and
big do those seeds get?
I'd say about, half inch, quarter inch to
like
half
a really
inch.
Big pea.
Yeah, like a really big pea.
And you want to get them when they're young seeds for that process, right?
Right.
Obviously not when they're more mature and a little bit harder.
If they're like the softest green, just the softest green, and go ahead and bite into one, and you'll know whether the texture is going to be right for you, because every part of that plant is edible everything about that plant is edible. It's a beautiful plant. We could do a show on that one, too.
Yeah. Well, it just reminds me of slow food. I mean, since I've learned about lactofermentation, inspired by you, Lisa, I'm already excited about the cucumbers that haven't even produced. I haven't even produced yet because I already know exactly what I'm going to do with them. So to me, that's what slow food means is, you know, we have to grow it first.
Yeah.
And then we can eat it. Sometimes these dishes might take months to actually manifest as what they are. And I'm sure you can speak to that a little bit too, Janice. One of the things I'm so inspired about with you is reaching out into tropical foods, foods that are highly abundant here, and making such unique preparations with them that can get people all excited about eating something that really, like, literally, there's so much of it. And I wonder if you'd be willing to talk about your local food a little bit.
Oh, sure. It definitely depends on, you know, what season we're in. And lately I've been, recently I just harvested a lot of turnips and radishes as well. And I just love turnips, and they're one of those, you plant them and then you have 50 or 100 all at once. And so I'm always looking for ways to, unique and different ways to use something with things that are, they're not, you can't really find them all the time, or I know I'm not going to find them, at the grocery store, you know, usually fresh. I always get excited about those types of foods. I usually make a lot of turnip soup and with savory herbs, and freeze that, so I have it in my freezer for a while. I love making, you know, roasting turnips is really delicious. Having them fresh in salads, just grating them with a box grater. I love making a turnip hash.
Mm.
And mixed with green onions and carrots, so you have that sweet, kind of bitter, and your aromatic from the onion with that, and that's really versatile. You can, you know, add some cilantro, fresh cilantro at the end of that, almost any kind of savory herb, thyme, rosemary, sage, marjoram, parsley, of course. Roasted radishes and sautéed radishes and a little butter with savory herbs added to a salad or some sautéed greens are divine. They're really, that's something that I've been really enjoying recently.
I remember the first time I ate a roasted radish, it kind of rocked my world.
Yeah.
I thought, I didn't know you could cook these things, and oh gosh, they were so delicious. Well, yeah. It's occurred to me that my favorite cooks are gardener cooks, because I think there's just a deep understanding of the food that comes from cultivating it first and understanding it, and the combinations that get born from a gardener's fingers just tend to be just so luscious.
I think it's a continuance of the love that when you grow the plant, you care for the plant, and then the food is the fruit or whatever is actually at the peak. You wait till the moment where the plant does you almost. And then when you cook, you have that in your heart. And then in the future plant, because you've saved the seed, you know. But I had a quick question for Janice. Because I love roasted vegetables myself. And, mm-hmm. and sometimes even barbecue. But roasting really brings out another whole thing. And temperature, time, typically, just for those who haven't tried it, you know, and size of cubing, like, say, turnips and radishes, you throw them in whole, or how do you do it?
Depending on the vegetable, some roast quicker than others, and I like keeping them separate from each other and also spread out. If they're too clumped together, they'll steam. But if you spread them out so they're not touching each other, you can almost let them caramelize, and they'll get a nice sugary.
So you're not covering them.
No.
Temperature?
400. I do 400 because they'll cook faster without drying out. Lower temperature, 10. You could do 350, but I prefer 400. For carrots, it's roughly about 20 minutes. Turnips, the same. Fennels, about 20 minutes. Beets are longer. I cover my beets. I leave the skin on, and I toss them in some balsamic vinegar, salt, pepper, and olive oil, and then I cover them for 45 minutes to an hour, and then check them after 45 minutes, and then I take them out and let them cool somewhat, not totally, but so they're cool to the touch, and the skin should come off real easily. So then you have a nice, it's like they've been, you know, cooking in their own skin and getting that, like, you know, getting that, like, sugary caramelized texture and flavor on the outside. And then when you take the skin off, it's just sweet and delicious and juicy. And then I usually add some kind, you know, add another dressing depending on what I'm making with that. So, carrots, turnips, those are usually my favorite roasting vegetables. Yeah.
Well, that brings us to the bottom of the hour. Pardon my Pavlovian drool after listening to that. That was Janice Myers from Farm Cook Kauai. And you do have a website, Farm Cook Kauai?
.com. Yeah.
And we're also joined in the studio today on In the Garden on the Farm by Lisa Fuller of One Song Farm. And to just reiterate real quickly, we'll be having a sharing on May 25th. That's a Sunday from 9 a.m. to 1. And you can learn some of her fabulous, almost Kauai-style techniques. And you can give her a call. Grab your pen at 635-3020. And she's also going to be featuring some lacto fermentation, also known as pickling, but mo better. And then, of course, Robin, our host. We're looking for a little support for In the Garden on the Farm.
Indeed we are. Give us a call.
Yeah, what do we have planned in the coming weeks or months on In the Garden on the Farm?
Well, we have each month we've been featuring a plant family. If you've been listening for the last few months, you'll notice that we like to go in depth about a particular family. It takes us a couple of weeks to flesh through all of the information. We don't really want to skim over too much. The world of plants is so vast and interesting and surprising and lovely, and I could go on and on with adjectives there. And so we like to feature, you know, the relationships, and then the following week some good growing techniques, so how to grow those kinds of plants out really successfully. And then chances are you're going to run into a few pest problems, so we try to get some experts in the field. We've gotten friendly with some of the plant pathologists at UH and other folks who are really knowledgeable that we can try to share with you how to overcome the pest problems that you might encounter with information from some experts. And then, like today, we like to talk about how we're evolving socially on our own little island and our own little community through gardening, farming, food, cooking, eating, playing together.
This is the Garden Island, and I just love this show because it's done, the show is done by people who are actually doing it. They come in here and they share success. And that's a beautiful thing in this modern instant gratification world. You know, you just don't go down and take the easy route. You take the natural, beautiful route. You know, you never used to be such a thing as natural or organic. That's just how it was. You know what I mean? And it's kind of crazy here. The last 150 years or so with, you know, unnatural. And so we're really getting back to the garden specifically on this show every Wednesday at noon in the garden on the farm with Paul and Robin. And I'm really proud of this show. I know there's people listening worldwide that can enjoy this show each and every week. And those of you who are listening, we're streaming Aloha Worldwide at kkcr.org. If you want to drop us a check, it's easy. P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, H-A-N-A-L-E-I, Hanalei, Hawaii, 96714. Or even a postcard. Send it to Robin from some far-flung place. We'll get a kick out of it. Maybe we'll even read it on the air. And so I'd like to thank everyone who's supported the station and this show through the years. We'd love to see the phone light up, which it hasn't yet during the show today. So give us a call at 826-7771, 866-275-1112. If you're listening on the mainland, you can call us toll-free. And we'll continue to share our mana'o. Or for those of you who aren't Hawaiian, don't speak Hawaiian, that's just our knowledge. And we'll also share our mana, our M-A-N-A, which is our spirituality, which is so much a part of growing and living. Shall we continue on, Robin?
Where absolutely.
Are we at?
In
one of your
absolutely.
Wonderful segments?
We're at a new segment, and I want to ask people if they've learned anything in our show that they find is valuable, that maybe they'd give us a call and pledge their support to the station right now. We're going to drop into the medicine chest, which is a segment we do every now and again, talking about medicinal qualities of a particular plant. And today we'd like to talk about kukui nut. Kukui is in the Euphorbiaceae family. It's a medium to large sized tree common in the Kauai's natural forests here. Kukui is Hawaii's state tree. Though not native to the islands, it's actually native to Malaysia and was introduced here as a canoe plant by early Polynesian settlers. Kukui is the kinolau or physical embodiment of Lono and his associated deity, Kamapua'a. Kukui likes to grow in those nice wet crevices up in the forests of Kauai. It's very easy to cultivate, grown from seed. Leaves, flowers, rind, nut, and bark were all used in traditional Hawaiian medical practice. Kukui nut oil is high in linoleic and alpha-linoleic essential fatty acids and is considered a high-quality moisturizing oil for massage and the manufacture of cosmetics. It is also good for oiling fine wood objects. Wonder how to get the oil? Well, to extract the oil, use nuts that sink in a bowl of water, for starters. Crack open the shells and remove the meat. Bake at 450 degrees for about 15 minutes. Let them cool, mash, and place in a glass jar in the sun. The oil will separate from the meat all by itself. And there you have it. Strain it off, and you can add a few drops of grapefruit seed extract or vitamin E oil to preserve your kukui nut oil from going rancid.
Would you repeat that one more time to preserve it?
To preserve it, you can add grapefruit seed extract and vitamin E oil.
It is absolutely marvelous for any sort of skin condition. Eczema, psoriasis, cuts, stings, It's fabulous, and it's one of the wonders of Polynesia's la'au la'apau, the plant medicine.
That's right.
You just gotta love it. It's our state tree. Hey, what are you gonna?
Yes, also a edible relish known as inamona, which is crushed kukui nuts and sea salt, is used as a relish on fresh seafood like poke and other things like that. The roasted nut is good for constipation, so you probably
really
don't want to eat. Really good. You probably don't want to eat too much of that, unless you want to be hanging out in the small room for the day. Bark infusions are used for skin wounds and infections. Young leaves can be used as a poultice for broken bones, bruises, wounds, and pain. And there's just many, many more uses. For an exhaustive list, you might check out Medicine at Your Feet, one of our favorite Hawaiian medicinal plant books by David Bruce Leonard. His website, davidbruceleonard.com, and you can take a look at Medicine at Your Feet there, describing so many medicinal properties of plants that are literally growing all around us, what one might call weeds in some cases.
The kukui nut tree, the very beautiful silvery leaves in the moonlight, big broad leaves. It was commonly, if you go hike deep into the mountains and you see the kukui nut trees back in there, how did these get back in here? This plant was brought here for either, usually, for the Polynesians, Hawaiians, either it was a menstruation camp where the women would go, or a bird camp where they would go and collect the feathers, without killing the whole bird, but just collect a few for their ali'i's headdresses and capes. But the kukui nut tree is lovely just for the shade, but I love it in the moonlight.
Yeah, me too. It's lovely.
It sticks out like a sore thumb. There's all these different colored greens, and then you got that silvery kind of green. Mm-hmm. Well, we're joined in the studio today, and we're still looking for some donations for In the Garden on the Farm. I believe we had one call by Lisa Fuller of One Song Farm and Janice Myers from Farm Cook Kauai. Aloha, ladies.
Yes. Well, moving right along, we're going to jump into Secrets of the Soil Builders.
Oh.
And although this particular secret is not necessarily for soil building, it's a little bit more for making our plants healthier. But we reason that if you're a soil builder, foliar feeding is one of your secrets. So we're going to jump into foliar feeding, which is basically misting the leaves and the trunk and the stems of the plant with some kind of nutrient. And just to start out, the way that this works in the plant is the plant has pores on the undersides of all of its leaves. They're called stomata. There's lots of them. These pores are naturally open during the early morning at dusk and in the late day around, or early morning at dawn, excuse me, and in the late day at dusk. And that's the time that you want to be foliar feeding, because the plant, through these pores, basically it's how the plant breathes. And in the middle of the day, it will close down the pores so that it doesn't kind of dry out too much when the sun is out. Now, interestingly, the sounds of birds encourage the stomates to open. So, you know, we have that sunset symphony I listen to. Yeah, just like that. That sunset symphony that happens daily just before sundown is really one of my favorite times. And also morning times, depending on the weather, you'll get some really nice bird songs, too. And it's well documented that the sounds of the birds, the frequencies, are useful in helping the plant open its stomates. So this is around the time when you want to be foliar feeding. And foliar feeding, you can basically, there's a lot of different things you can foliar feed and a lot of different things that you would foliar feed depending on what it is you're feeding and what kind of result you're looking for. The plants have basically three stages in their growth, which is vegetative growth. Then there's what's called a changeover period. The changeover, as said in Korean natural farming, is that time when the plant is starting to think about reproduction, and it's kind of leaving its vegetative state, and it's not quite reproducing yet, as in making seeds, which generally means making some kind of a fruit or a flower. And then the third stage of the plant is, of course, its reproductive stage, where it's maturing a seed for the next incarnation. And so depending on what stage the plant is in, you might want to use something different as a foliar feed. I would venture to say that a healthy compost tea is probably good about any time during the plant's growth.
And then let's say you're approaching the seeding time or the fruiting time. What would be good then? Anything special?
Yeah, I would say something kind of phosphorus-rich, perhaps, to inspire little bigger fruits, things like that. Even potassium can be good at that time to help firm up the flavor, firm up the fruit, make it a little better. In my mind, I'm thinking about a pepper plant as I'm talking, but that's just sort of arbitrary to where my mind's at right now.
Well, now, as far as natural sources of phosphate, Lisa, is there something you grind up and throw in your sprayer, or what would you use with your Biogen? Let's say you got something that's going to be flowering and soon fruiting.
Mm-hmm.
Do you give a little extra something?
I haven't used foliars with my flowering, with plants that are reproducing, mostly because we're doing it, well, I don't know why. That would be a sun question.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I tell people. That's a sun question.
How about you, Janice? Do you foliar feed? Foliar, I take it coming from foliage, something
yes,
you spray
exactly.
on the leaves.
Spraying on the leaves.
Right.
I haven't either. Yeah.
So we're
I'm usually a green, you know, if I'm foliar feeding, it's usually for a green leafy, plant. It's just a green leafy plant, or it's in its, you know, it's in its younger phase. So, but not something. I usually do, you know, a root feed when it's in that change, when I know it's getting into that changeover period.
Yeah, this is new to me, believe it or not. I'm usually, when I'm feeding plants, it's through the roots. And you're saying that they can take in nutrients through the stomata?
They can indeed.
When the stomata are open early in the morning, before the sunlight starts to hit them, and in the dusk, in the evening?
In the cool early morning hours, I can't really put a time on it, but there is a point at which it's probably somewhere around 8 a.m. in the summer, where I probably wouldn't spray a foliar feed on.
Is this usually for your vegetables, or do you do it for your fruit trees and things, your ornamentals?
All.
Yeah. One thing that I've also used foliars for is that there are certain vegetables in the garden that are more susceptible to an organism called root knot nematode, which is one of the challenges on this island, and that's something that we'll go into at the sharing more. But this particular organism, it gets into the roots of the plants, and it pretty much makes condos, and they just multiply like crazy and create nodules on the root system and block any uptake from nutrients from the soil to those plants. And so the plants that I know are more susceptible to that, I'll kind of be checking them throughout their growth, and if I do start to see nematode sign, I'll start doing foliars right away, because I know that they can get nutrient from the top when they're being compromised from the bottom, and that way I can possibly save that plant instead of have it go punk on me.
Right.
Yeah.
So early recognition and, nematodes. Are you going to be covering some of that on your sharing on May 25th?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it's one of the main challenges of the island that a lot of people don't know about. And causes destruction of plants just out of nowhere, and people don't, what did I do? What did I do wrong? Even good farmers and good growers, if they don't know about it, they don't know how to take care of it or watch for it or support the plants like we're speaking of with a foliar instead of wasting from down below, just start supporting those plants from up above.
Yeah, one of my favorite foliar feeds of late has been the LAB, or lactic acid bacteria, which we actually talked about on the show last week.
And that just seems to be such a great boon for the plant. It definitely helps with vegetative growth. It sweetens fruits later on. It just really has a lot of great qualities, and I've been loving what it's been doing for my plants.
And you even use that on your young little starts?
I do, actually, when I need to. As with everything, our skills of observation are just so very important to us in our line of work, yes. Mm-hmm.
It's paramount. It's everything. Observation is everything.
What else do you use for foliar feeding? Any of the vitamins, like B or anything? Mm-hmm.
My favorite seaweed extract is MaxiCrop. That's the one that I have best results with. I actually will combine that. MaxiCrop is a cold water seaweed, and it really does live up to its name, I've noticed. When I get down on our orchard with that, and just really, when you're spraying orchard trees, it's really fun, actually, to wet down all the leaves. Of course, you want to be focusing your foliar feed on the undersides of the leaves, but you want to soak the branches, the trunk, and I spray so much on a full-grown tree that it starts dripping off of those outer leaves, which is basically dripping down to the feeder roots of the plant down below, so you just get kind of double duty there.
What's it called again?
MaxiCrop.
Now, we don't have large amounts of seaweed here on the islands or kelp forest. Where do you get?
Oh, we can get that at garden supply stores. I've purchased it at Kawamura's before. They do carry a maxi crop. I like buying the powder from Peaceful Valley Farm Supply. They sell it by the pound, so I can make a whole lot of that. For a fairly good price. It's not the least expensive supplement on the market out there, so I prefer to buy the powder by the pound, which is quite affordable, and I can just make it by the gallon and as a concentrate and use a teaspoon here and a teaspoon there. Definitely the kind of thing you don't want to overdo it on foliar feeding. I've done it. I've burned my plants by making too strong a solution and spraying them on the plants, even at the wrong time of day. That one time spraying them at noon, and you probably never do that again.
Yeah.
Those are our best lessons, aren't they?
Wow, time flies. We've only 10 minutes left in this edition of In the Garden and On the Farm. Thank you so much for tuning in and sharing part of your day with us, and we're joined by Lisa Fuller of One Song Farm and Janice Myers of Farm Cook Kauai on this fundraising edition of the In the Garden on the Farm. Robin, pack it in right now and give us a call, too. We really encourage your support. We've had a couple calls. We'd like at least one more for the end of the show, 826-7771. If you love this show, now's your opportunity to share that. And if you are a listener but have never been a member, now's your opportunity. I guarantee you. Garons of all barons, as we say, you'll feel different and good. There. How easy was that?
The phone's ringing. Great.
Go ahead, Robin.
Well, before I jump into the announcements, I just want to thank you ladies for being on the show today. And I do really want to encourage people to visit farmcookkauai.com. Janice just does such a beautiful job. I mean, just the photographing of the dishes to begin with, but so much great valuable information on where to find that particular kind of produce on Kauai. If it's easy to grow in the garden, Janice gives you some nice tips on how to grow it successfully, and I'm really just in love with it, so that's part of why we wanted to have her on the show today. It's highly educational, and that's what we're talking about here on In the Garden on the Farm almost all the time, is educating people to grow really great food for yourselves, even just a little bit, and supplement at the farmer's market with what you can't grow.
And some of the wonderful starts that you have, and then there are available at, say, Namahana Market, which is next to the Kauai Mini Golf, and other local markets. Expand your horizons, folks. There are some wonderful Asian vegetables out there that if you grew up on the mainland or you live there, that you cannot get until you go to that Filipino market or that Chinese market or that Korean market. And they're just wonderful new flavors. And it's a wonderful thing to grow some bitter melon or, you know, that wonderful eggplants varieties that you were speaking of these last couple weeks. And so I had a quick question for Janice. Are you growing anything funky that I never heard of?
Last fall and this winter, I planted some of the gailan, which you probably have heard of, but it's the little broccoli. It's like a flowering broccoli, or Chinese broccoli. And
it's green?
Yeah, it grows. It's like a tall broccoli plant, and then it produces little small flowering shoots. And you just clip off the shoots, and it's like a teeny tiny little broccoli head. But they're very tender and sweet, and you can eat them raw, toss them with olive oil and vinegar, and put them on a salad, or you can stir-fry them. And
what's it called again?
Gailan, or kailan. Yeah,
how do you
Chinese,
spell that?
It's either K-A-I-L-A-N or G-A-I-L-A-N, and it's a brassica, and it did so well. I just kept clipping and clipping and clipping for at least 4 months, and I would get, you know, probably this much, you know, like a couple cups full.
This much being she was
making
about the size of a cantaloupe there.
You can't see me.
Yeah, it's all right.
Probably a couple cups worth every other day.
Gailan.
Which was a lot for, you know, for a dinner and a salad and lunch, and I just have enjoyed that thoroughly this. And it's definitely a fall and winter and spring type food because it's the cooler weather.
Yeah, like
broccoli.
The brassicas, okay.
Yeah.
How about you, Lisa? Have you grown anything recently or that you love that one wouldn't normally know?
We are cultivating a Tahitian taro leaf.
Mm. What's different about that than, say, our local kalo taro?
It doesn't have a full-size corm. It's grown specifically for the leaf, and the stem and the leaf are both edible. They have to be cooked though, like all taro leaves. But I can cook it within 3 to 5 minutes. It's not a all day event.
You boil it or you steam it?
I boil it. Never steam it. Boil it in salt water.
And it's a dry taro. It's not grown underwater.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Correct. So anyone out there, you could try this at home.
The thing I love about it the most is that it's a forever food because it's constantly multiplying itself, and I separate out the little cakeys, put it in the ground, I've got a whole nother huge plant. We're talking genuine sustainability with a food like that.
And one of the healthiest plants on earth.
Beautiful.
To eat. Really nutritious for you.
Yeah, my favorite thing about the Tahitian taro is how it tastes. Mm. It is really, really delectable.
Describe the taste. What words would you use? Like a wine connoisseur. How would you describe the flavor of the Tahitian taro? Buttery,
buttery.
I'm hearing over here.
Buttery. Yeah. I would
buttery
agree.
Buttery is
like
good.
A creamy
like
spinach.
Buttery? Ooh.
I use some of Lisa's Tahitian taro leaves for catering for Lau Lau. And it's fabulous. I have some growing, but I also will use more of Lisa's in the future as well. And it's just mixed with sweet potato and pork and, you know, steamed. Mm. It's fantastic.
Okay, I'm getting that Pavlovian drool
yeah.
again going.
But
just to keep you in the conversation, Robin, what's something you've been growing that maybe most people haven't heard of?
Hmm. Well, right now I'm pretty up on my Thai variety papayas. They're really big papayas that taste really, really, really good. I kind of have a low opinion of big papayas in general. They don't always have the flavor I'm after. These suckers are, like, bigger than footballs. Like, some of them are even, like, 2 times the size of a football. And they have the darkest pink flesh, and they are just so sweet. And I use them when they're green. I make papaya salad, or I may use them when they're orange but still very hard as a vegetable in my cooking and stir fries. And then once they're ripe, they're just like the most incredible breakfast.
Is that a hermaphroditic papaya? Is it really
terrific? They are. I haven't seen any male trees come out of there yet. And the true sign of a herm is that there's lots of seeds, and generally have lots of seeds.
Are those available at farmers markets if someone wanted to try growing them themselves? Yeah, papayas grow like a weed.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And the ones I'm growing are tested. I've had them tested at UH, so they are GMO-free.
We have the Thai papaya, the Guilan, and the
Tahitian taro. Leaf.
The Tahitian taro leaf. Now, is there some place I can get the Tahitian taro leaf?
We are selling it at the market.
Oh.
So, again, Namahana Market on Saturday mornings.
Which is by the Kauai Mini Golf.
Exactly.
Okay, I better jam on a couple
Tracy
of announcements.
We got coming up next with Kauai Vibrations.
That's right, we do. And what we've all been waiting for, if you remember our orchid show a couple months ago, we spoke with Tony Lydgate. They're having their vanilla orchid pollination demonstration on Saturday, May 17th. That's just in a few days now at 10 a.m. at Steelgrass Farm in Kapa'a. One of Kauai's largest commercial growers of vanilla beans offers a free public demonstration on how to successfully pollinate vanilla orchid flowers, a requirement for producing the valuable pods that are the source of vanilla. Advanced registration is required and can be done by calling 821-1857 or emailing info@steelgrass.org. Springtime Gardening with Lisa and Son of One Song Farm. We're just reminding you, Sunday, May 25th, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at their farm in Kilauea. Advanced Gardening with Son, Biointensive Gardening Basics with Lisa, and includes an introduction to lactofermentation. There is a fee for this event. To reserve your spot or for more information, call 635-3020. The Fruit Growers Conference on Wednesday, May 28th. Registration on the day of the event begins at 8:15, and the conference runs from 8:45 to 3:30. It's at the Kauai Community College OSET Room 106 CND in the new one-stop center complex at the front of the campus. Topics include pineapple pests and diseases, plant diseases of fruit, papaya pest management, tropical fruits, and fruit fly control. I want to hear about that. There is a fee for this event. Register by May 19th. To get a bento lunch included in the deal. The number to call is 245-8318. And with that, I will pass it on, say mahalo nui. This has been In the Garden on the Farm with your hosts, Robin and Shaka. We'd like to thank our guests on the show today, Lisa Fuller of One Song. You can reach her at 635-3020. And Janice Myers of Farm Cook Kauai. Check out her website, farmcookkauai.com. And please tune in again next week for more stimulating conversation on our relationship with the life of the land that gives us life. Mahalo.